Bibles with you, brothers and sisters, and open it up, please, to Revelation chapter 17. We are on part two of this message entitled The Fall of Religious Babylon. The Fall of Religious Babylon here in Revelation 17, 1 through 6. May I remind everybody that as we read those words, Babylon, great harlot, we're not talking here of literal Babylon or a literal harlot, but here in this very passage, John is given the opportunity by God to see a future worldwide false religion. And those words, false, great harlot and Babylon are words to describe that false religion, that one world false religion. And so we see here this passage wherein that false religion is described. Verse 1 of Revelation 17. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came and talked with me. This is John. And the angel said to John, "Come, I will show you the judgment of the great harlot who sits on many waters, with whom the kings of the earth committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth were made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast, which was full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. The woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, having in her head a golden cup full of abominations and the filthiness of her fornication. And on her forehead a name was written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and of the abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I marveled with great amazement." O Lord, our Heavenly Father, we are so deeply privileged to open your word, to have a glimpse of what you will do in the future with regards to this one world false religion. And yet today, Lord, even we see that the world is being set up for this kind of future event. And so I pray, Lord, that you help us see what terrible things might happen or will happen to those who will be drunk with this false religion. And may this realization tonight bring fire in our bosom to tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ, that they may be saved, that they may not be included here in this judgment of God against this one world false religion. Lord, bless your people tonight with wisdom and discernment and encourage our hearts. We'd also like to pray for other ministries who are serving you this very day. We remember, O Lord, Dr. Wei and the ministries that you have given to him for many years, Lord, serving our brothers and sisters in those closed access nations. There are many restrictions now for him to go to those countries. And yet many still are being persecuted. I pray that you would open more opportunities for them to come instead to where he is at. I pray that through his ministries to these pastors whose churches are being hunted down and persecuted, that they will be encouraged, that they will be more equipped to serve your church. Lord, he's not getting any younger. I pray for good health for him. I pray that you'll protect him, protect his family, and please bless the ministries that you have given under his care. The church, the school, the camp, and especially, O Lord, is the ministry of encouraging the pastors from those close access nations. Father, I also pray for the Chovens as they continue to serve you, ministering to different churches in the States. I pray that you encourage them deeply, that whatever they're doing for the gospel's sake is never in vain. Please give them more opportunities to preach the gospel truth to those who haven't heard it yet, to those who maybe are discouraged, maybe who have backslidden. I pray, Father, that their ministry will continue to herald the powerful word of God. I pray also, Lord, for Dome Baptist Bible Institute. Thank you for sparing the school from the ravaging destruction of the typhoons this past week. I know that some parts of the buildings were damaged and water is seeping through. I pray, Lord, that you just protect the school campus and the students who are there and the faculty and staff. I pray that you will challenge more people to pray and to support this ministry. And I ask, dear Lord, that you send more laborers into the school. We need a president, a vice president, academic dean, a dean of men. We need full-time teachers who will train and mentor and disciple these students. I pray, dear Father, that you bless the leadership behind the school, that they will continue to explore ways and means to better the situation in the school and to continue to uphold the biblical standard that we have been having for 100 years. May we not give in to liberalism, to wokeism. I pray, O Lord, that we will stand true and staunch with the biblical teaching of your word. And I pray that also for our church here, that may we, Lord, never give in to the pressures of the outside world, of other religions or cults. I pray, Lord, that we will defend your word. I pray, Lord, that we will be true to your word, and we will be committed and faithful until the Lord Jesus Christ comes. Oh, Lord, I pray that all of us here this evening will be able to hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Last Sunday evening that we were here, my brothers and sisters, we were on this passage, and we discussed the first 2 points of this 6-point sermon. And the first is Babylon's annihilation. We said in verse number 1, it has already been prophesied that this great harlot, this one world false religion, Babylon, will be destroyed. That's what we see in verse number 1. "Come," says the angel to John, "I will show you that the judgment of the great harlot who sits on many waters." But also secondarily, we saw Babylon's ascendancy. And when we say ascendancy, dearly beloved, we see here that there are many key cities and civilizations in the ancient times that were there at the body of what we call the Euphrates River. And that area there is the great fertile crescent, and that's where the true Babylon, the great nation, came about. But we also did say that we're not talking here of the literal Babylon, the literal kingdom, but of this one world religion that will ascend, that will become powerful. In fact, the next verse there tells us the kings of the earth committed fornication with her. So there's a big, universal scope of this religion. And the words there, "who sits on many waters," means that this one world religion will preside over many nations. Not just one, not just Southeast Asia, not just Southern America. The entire world will be controlled and affected by this one world false religion. So the harlot's authority will be universal. The entire world will be committed to the false worship of the Babylonian system, which is focused on worship of man. That is what it's going to be. So we go to the third and fourth point tonight. And the third point is this, Babylon's associations. Associations. For this, look at verses 2 and 3. With whom the kings of the earth committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth were made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast, which was full of names of blasphemy, having 7 heads and 10 horns. What do we mean to say here? That this one world false religion will be committing fornication with the kings of the earth. And not only the kings of the earth, but verse 2 says, the inhabitants of the earth were made drunk with the wine of her fornication. In other words, dearly beloved, what John is saying here, that there will always be what we call fornication with regards to false world religions. False religions have always involved immorality and fornication, because the word fornication, those two mentions of this word here in verse 2, committed fornication and with the wine of our fornication, came from two Greek words, epornousian and porneias. Epornousian and porneias, which actually came from the basic word pornea. Sounds familiar. The English word pornography comes from that Greek word. And that Greek word means harlotry, or to act, the actions of the harlot, or indulge in unlawful lust, or figuratively speaking, this also talks about idolatry. In the Old Testament, this picture is taken also to be idolatry, worshiping other gods. So the idea of fornication here, says one author, often has strong associations throughout the Bible with idolatry. You must remember when the Israelites went out or came out of Egypt, and Moses there, and they were on Mount Sinai, and Moses went up to Mount Sinai, and they were not able to see Moses come down. What did they do? And Aaron was the leader during this time. They were worried that Moses might have died or whatever, so Aaron said what? Take all of your earrings and golden whatever you have in your hands, and they formed it into a what? A golden calf. And when Moses came down there, the description there, dearly beloved, was that they were dancing and they were singing. And the picture there is that they're dancing for the glory of God. No. It's lasciviousness. It's fornication. It's adultery. It's lust. That's what they're doing there. Because, dearly beloved, idolatry is a figurative picture of harlotry or fornication. So the author continues, since this is a well-accepted religious system, it is likely to appear as attractive and spiritual, though not necessarily moral. Isn't that true with even the cults of this world? They look so spiritual on the outside, but time will tell what kind of crimes they would be doing, especially on the side of immorality and fornication. This is the kind of relationship the harlot or this one world religion will have with the kings of the earth and the inhabitants of the earth. The latter, the inhabitants of the earth, is affected more negatively, as described as made with drunk with the wine of her fornication. Now, we are not talking here literally of drunkenness from a literal standpoint, that it's a literal wine that we're talking about. No, we're talking here of religious intoxication of this false world religion. In other words, people of great renown, kings and royalties and presidents, and even those the lowest, the unknowns, especially them, they will be drunk. They will be sold out totally with this one world false religion. Most of the time, as we see, it's the poor and the helpless who will experience the dire negative effect of false religions. Not only will they become even poorer, but also they will be more abused than those who are in power. This will be true, brothers and sisters, even in this future situation. Religious Babylon intoxicates the famous and powerful kings and the unknown regular peoples. The conclusion we can draw is that all unredeemed people will be caught up with this final false world religion. No unbeliever will be spared from her fornication. Oh, I can remember a cult based in the Philippines, in Davao. This is called the Kingdom of Jesus Christ. Sounds so religious. Sounds so biblical. Kingdom of Jesus Christ, right? This is founded by a man named Apollo C. Kibuloy. And he proclaimed himself as the appointed son of God and the owner of the universe. That's his picture there. Apollo C. Kibuloy, and that's their congregation in Davao. And he also built there the Garden of Eden. So that it looks like a beautiful garden, but do you know who is tending the garden for free? His followers, working there every day on the guise of, I'm serving the Lord. The beautiful mansion he has there and the helicopter and the planes. Then outside the Garden of Eden, you see the poorest of the poor living on the outskirts of the Garden of Eden. But dearly beloved, Apollo Kibuloy, the founder of a Philippine-based church, according to this is FBI, United States, this is official documents, is wanted for his alleged participation in a labor trafficking scheme that brought church members to the U.S. via fraudulently obtained visas and forced the members to solicit donations for a bogus charity. Donations that actually were used to finance church operations and lavish lifestyles of its leaders. Members who proved successful at soliciting for the church allegedly were forced to enter into sham marriages or obtain fraudulent student visas to continue soliciting in the United States year round. I may even think that Australia has them as well. Furthermore, says this FBI report, it is alleged that females were recruited to work as personal assistants or pastorals, they're called, for Kibuloy, and that victims prepared his meals, cleaned his residences, gave him massages, and were required to have sex with Kibuloy in what the pastorals called night duty. Kibuloy was indicted by a federal grand jury in the U.S. District Court for the Central District of California, Santa Ana, California, for conspiracy to engage in sex trafficking by force, fraud and coercion, and sex trafficking of children. Sex trafficking by force, fraud and coercion, conspiracy, and bulk cash smuggling. And on the 10th of November, 2021, a federal warrant was issued for his arrest. And you know what's shocking, dearly beloved? This was 2021, right? The warrant for his arrest. Just this year, he ran for senatorial seat in the Philippines. Thankfully, he didn't win. But just wow, the audacity to still run for a seat in the Senate, dearly beloved. Oh. I'm so saddened with millions of my fellow Filipinos who are given, who are drunk with this kind of cultish religion. And you know, this is just a foretaste of what we're seeing today, is just a foretaste of what will happen someday. So that one author said, this will be a satanic spiritual high. This Babylon, this one world false religion, this will be a satanic spiritual high like nothing Karl Marx could have imagined when he called man-made religion the opium of the masses or the opium of the people. That's what we see here in verse number 2. But verse 3 continues. Verse 3 continues with Babylon's associations. Here, we see that John was carried away in the spirit into the wilderness. Now, let's pause for a minute here. And we see that John is transported to a different location. Wilderness describes a deserted, desolate wasteland like the region where modern Babylon is located. So this is an apt setting for the vision of judgment that's coming. Because when the Spirit carried John away into the wilderness, he saw something more. Look at verse number 3. And I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast, which was full of names of blasphemy, having 7 heads and 10 horns. So we see a vision here that a woman was sitting on a scarlet beast. The harlot Babylon, the leader of this one world false religion, is sitting there. The same beast, on the same beast mentioned in Revelation 13 verse 1. And who is this beast? The Antichrist, of course. It's this dictatorship. And let's look at the word scarlet. Why is she described here as a scarlet beast? Scarlet is also colored associated with sin. Remember Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter 1 that even though your skin is red as scarlet, and also scarlet is the hue of blood. Walvoord, commenting on this, said, her position, that of riding the beast, the Antichrist, indicates on the one hand that she is supported by the political power of the beast. And on the other hand, she is in a dominant role because she's sitting on the beast, the Antichrist, and at least outwardly controls and directs the beast. Her association with blasphemy and the dragon's beast are clearly seen from God's perspective. But to the people, to the regular people of the earth, she will look quite religious and have the faith everybody wants. Because of course, dearly beloved, at this time, Antichrist will still look splendorous. He will still look royal. But of course, he is sinful and bloody and full of blasphemous names. That's what the Word of God tells us here. In his arrogant self-deification, declaring him to be God, Antichrist will take for himself the names and titles that belong to God alone. That's why here it says he was full of names of blasphemy. Names that doesn't belong to him, he will declare as his. Another author comments, with the heavens and the earth ravaged by God's judgments and the world's political, economic, and military might crumbling, people will turn in desperation to the supernatural. The beast and the woman will coexist for a while. Religion will be separate from the kingdom of Antichrist at first, but eventually, the beast, if you look at verse number 16, the beast, these will hate the harlot, make her desolate and naked, eat her flesh, and burn her with fire. In other words, there will be some kind of hostility between the one world religion and Antichrist himself. It will be at that point that the false prophet will make the whole world worship Antichrist alone. And we see that there in verses 11 through 14. And everything will be unified in the beast's comprehensive rule. So that's what will happen someday. Of course, may I remind everybody here this morning, you and I who claim to be Christians, we will not be here anymore during this time. This is the tribulation period. The church would have been raptured already before the tribulation period. But here, God gives us the opportunity to see what's going to happen. So that's Babylon's associations. But the last point tonight is Babylon's apparel. Apparel. When you say apparel, the clothes, the outward adornment. Let's look at verse number 4. The woman, which is the harlot here, the world, one world false religion, was arrayed in purple and scarlet and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls. That's how this one world religion looks like. Again, we're not talking here of a literal woman. We're talking here of a one world false religion. And the picture here, dearly beloved, is such of beauty. This one world false religion. Beautiful, attractive. Purple and scarlet are colors of splendor and magnificence. The dyes to make fabric these colors were rare and costly. This is in the olden days. These colors are emblems of luxury. You know that purple, the royalty. They love the color purple. And you add their gold and precious stones. Oh wow. So majestic, so radiant, so honorable. And add to that scarlet, which is the color of government, meaning control and power. Just like a harlot or prostitute, this future one world false religion will be so beautifully and radiantly presented and packaged as to attract attention to herself as the only option for survival and hope. Because remember, during this time, after all these judgments happening, the seal judgment and all of these judgments, the world has been destroyed and ravaged. It will be such a dire situation. People will be looking for hope. And what will be that hope that they will present? This one world false religion, beautifully packaged as the hope of humanity. Like a prostitute who's adorning herself, presenting herself with beautiful dresses and elaborate jewelry and maybe beautiful coiffure of your hair. That will also be the presentation of this one world government or one world religion. But the end of this, of course, is death. There's a passage there in Proverbs, which talks about a prostitute's beauty. And I think this is a good picture of the one world false religion someday. Proverbs chapter 7. Proverbs chapter 7, verses 6 to 27. For at the window of my house, I look through my lattice. And saw among the simple, I perceived among the youths, a young man devoid of understanding. No discernment. He's young. And he passes along the street near her corner. Of course, the her here refers to the prostitute. And he took the path to her house. In the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. And there, a woman met him. This young man, undiscerning, no understanding, devoid of understanding, with the attire of a harlot and a crafty heart. She was loud and rebellious. Her feet would not stay at home. At times, she was outside, at times in the open square, lurking at every corner. So she caught him and she kissed him. With an impudent face, she said to him, I have peace offerings with me. Today I have paid my vows. So I came out to meet you, diligently to seek your face. And I have found you. I have spread my bed with tapestry, colored coverings of Egyptian linen, all the best in the olden world. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us make our fill of love until morning. Let us delight ourselves with love, for my husband is not at home. He has gone on a long journey. He has taken a bag of money with him and will come home on the appointed day. With her enticing speech, she caused him to yield. With her flattering lips, she seduced him. immediately he went after her as an ox goes to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till an arrow struck his liver, and as a bird hastens to the snare, he did not know it, would take his life. Now therefore, listen to me, says the Proverbs writer. My children, pay attention to the words of my mouth. Do not let her heart turn aside to her ways. Do not stray into her paths, for she has cast down many wounded, and all who were slain by her were strong men. Her house is the way to hell, descending to the chambers of death. Of course, this is a good reminder for men and also women. Avoid the ways of the pathway toward the houses and the places of prostitution and harlotry. Never give in, young men, to those kind of women. Does not love the Lord, but only loves herself and the world. They are death. Same with this one world religion. As a picture, this one world religion is like a prostitute, a harlot. Very good at enticing men and women, luring the people into her bed. But the end of it is destruction and death. That's the end, dearly beloved, of all those unbelievers who will be drunk into this one world false religion. One author said this: we find in the course of church history that one of the deadliest marks of ecclesiastical corruption is the lust for temporal power. Purple and scarlet were also colors of rulers, whether economic or political. And if you read this as well, how can this one world religion wear purple and scarlet and gold and precious stones and pearls? Because this one world false religion is very rich. They will have control. This one world false religion will have control of the economics of the world. Will have control of the dollars. Will have control of the Bitcoin. Maybe Bitcoin will still be there. Will have control of the gold reserves. This one world false religion will not only be attractive, but very wealthy. Very wealthy. They have control over the vast wealth and assets of the world. And come to think of it, dearly beloved, I went and researched cults and false religions' powerful enterprise. And researched how much do they have. Because someday this might be the amount of money that will be put in one pot, you know, to be the money of this one world false religion. You know, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, the Mormons, you know how much money they have? $293 billion. Can you imagine that? That's how much money they have in terms of investments, operating assets, their ecclesiastical buildings, and real estate, mostly from the United States of America. A temple in India, which is a Hindu temple. I don't know how to pronounce it very, very rightly, but Sri Venkateswara Swami Temple. I don't know if I pronounce it rightly. But this only one temple alone, this specific Hindu temple and all of its leadership, has $30 billion under its belt. Apparently from donations, from gifts. Church of Scientology, I don't know if you've heard of this. One famous man, actor, is a member of his church. It has $2 billion under its belt and growing. But you know who has the vast riches of this world? The Holy See, Vatican. And you know what that research led me to see? as far as assets, incalculable. You cannot even count how much this specific religion has. Imagine that. You can't count. You can't possibly get a calculator and add just too much. Dearly beloved, these and more someday will be put in one pot to be the financial foundation of the one world false religion. That's why here the Bible describes this one world religion as in arrayed in purple and scarlet, adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls. Compare that to the assets of Central Mountains Baptist Church. Also incalculable, actually, because we are blessed by God, right? We have spiritual blessings from God. But dearly beloved, do you see the comparison? Just because someday we see all of this are like stepping stones into what God has already prophesied. But here's the challenge, dearly beloved, as we end this evening. I pray that we will not be like this young man in Proverbs chapter 7 with no discernment, with no understanding, that will be led to the ways of harlotry and prostitution. There are many religions, cults out there. May we be able to discern. May we have wisdom, godly wisdom, to never go their way, to never embrace their doctrines, to never believe what they teach, but be faithful to what the Bible teaches. Attend and be a part of a church that is Bible teaching, Christ-centered, God-glorifying, and gospel-preaching church. I hope that will be our stand today. And for those who are drunken in false religions, our friends, our family, let's pray for them. Let's pray for them that they will be taken out by the grace of God, out of that man-made religion, and be saved by grace through faith. Be led into a saving relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for this challenge from your word. I pray that all of us here listening tonight will truly, Lord, be faithful until the end. That we will not be tempted to look to the left or to the right. But Lord, just look unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. Lord, protect our church from any stain and poison of any false religion, from man-made spirituality. I pray, dear Lord, that we will truly be the bride that is spotless and without blame before Christ. In whose name we pray. Amen.